The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got a wonderful show in store for you, as we always do. But first, of course, we have a little blog post from a couple of years ago, just kind of going in order. You know, started reading my blog post after I finished reading all the little sections from my book, Everyday Awakening. And so people like that. So I thought I'd continue by continuing with my blog. And today's blog post is entitled, Safety Resides Not in the Mind, But in the Body. Mm-hmm. When we decide to do our deep inner work, feeling safe is essential. Yet often we do not know what it takes to feel safe. We think we should feel safe with someone. Yet safety is not something in the mind. It may seem that we have no reason not to feel safe with someone. Everyone tells us what a great person they are, or what an amazing healer or facilitator they are. So perhaps we discount our own feelings about the person. We doubt ourselves. We do not understand why we feel differently. So we come up with excuses for the other person and do not honor our own intuition. Eventually, as long as we keep doing our work, we learn to trust ourselves more than others. We start to tune in to our own feelings and begin to see that feeling safe is not something in our minds. That all the reasons in the world will not make us feel safe if our body doesn't feel it. Things start to become clear. Our resistance to working with the person starts to make sense to us. Perhaps we even hear stories of other people who have the same feeling. And as the self-doubt turns into validation, we can begin to honor how we truly feel. Not how we should feel or how others tell us we should feel. We honor how we actually feel and we find what we actually need to feel safe. Once we feel safe to work with someone, then we dive in and truly do the deep work. This does not mean that the person we didn't feel safe with is bad or wrong. They were just not the right person for us, regardless of what others may say. So in order to fully honor ourselves, we learn the most important lesson, to pay attention to how our body and our nervous system feels, regardless of what the mind says. And that is how we tune into our innate intelligence. So is there someone in your life whom you don't feel safe with, even though you think you should? How can you honor yourself and find what you need to actually feel safe? So this is sort of a continuation of a series of blog posts I wrote when a couple of years ago I switched mentors. And I found when I moved to from my old mentor to my new mentor that I was actually able to, I actually didn't realize until the first time I started to work with my new mentor. And what came up for me was the fact that I didn't feel safe with my old mentor. And it's such an interesting dynamic because he was always chasing after me to do deep work. I was showing up as best as I could, but not really showing up the way he wanted me to. And it didn't make sense. Like, why wouldn't I? You know, this is, I want to work. I want to learn this stuff. Until I had this experience and I realized I really didn't feel safe with this guy. Now, the fact that I didn't feel safe with him, it's really actually not about him. It's about me. But it wasn't until I started to work with someone else that I realized, oh, I couldn't really do my deep work with him because I didn't really feel safe to do it with him. But I never realized this because other people training with him thought he was such a great guy. And other people who worked with him as clients were like, oh my God, he's so wonderful. He's so this, he's so that. So there was like nothing in my conscious mind that said to me, this guy's not a safe person to be with. Yet many times he showed an aggressive side with me. Many times he would not lose his temper, but raise his voice and say things and treat me in a way that almost kind of felt like bullying in some way. So I just didn't feel safe. But again, I was thinking in my mind, I should feel safe with him. What do you mean I don't feel safe? Of course I'm safe. But the mind plays tricks with us all the time. But the body knows. Our nervous system knows what's right for us and what's not. And this is important to keep in mind for any kind of relationship, like not just mentee to mentor, but partnerships, intimate relationships, lovers, friends. You know, you may think like, oh, I should feel safe with this person. Why am I not showing up differently? But just because the mind says and external things say, no, you should be good with this person, does not mean it feels good or it feels right for your nervous system, for your body, for you, the deep essence within you. Now, that's rich territory to do our work because when we do realize, like, I just don't feel safe with him, it's like, okay, well, what do I need to do to cultivate safety? Because safety is something that we cultivate within us. It's not really about the other person, though. There really are some unsafe people who in this world. But if we learn to honor ourselves, if we learn to really cultivate safety, then we can really do some deep work and we can unwind these things that affect us. So that's my blog post. It's called Safety Resides Not in the Mind, but in the Body. And you can always find my blog at talkradio.nyc/blog. And of course, on my personal website, theconsciousconsultant.com. So I hope that that was a good message for some of you out there. I know they tend to be very apropos for my guests. And today I am very pleased to welcome to the show psychedelic guide and integration coach, Dr. Tom Garcia. Dr. Garcia is a psychedelic guide and integration coach who has been in the field of health and spiritual well-being for over 30 years. His work with plant medicine helps people resolve internal conflict and overcome obstacles to create a breakthrough in self-awareness and self-expression. Tom's clients come from all over the world seeking him out for powerful experience of personal revelation and deep healing. Those who long for a more meaningful understanding of their life purpose, a clear sense of inner guidance, and a deep connection to the divine find their way to his inner circle. Through the ceremonial, sacred use of plant medicine and Tom's unique style of coaching, he guides his clients to greater peace, well-being, and happiness. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Tom.
Oh, thank you, Sam. What a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's an honor. Ever since we got connected a few months ago, I've been looking forward to having you come on the show. Yeah. So we have a few minutes before the first break, and I'm just curious, what kind of got you on this path of being a healer? So, you know, even before you got involved with plant medicine work, you were a healer long before that, weren't you?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I think for so many of us in the healing profession, we come from our own wound initially. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even know I was going to say that, but, you know, the wounded healer. And so it was really about self-healing, you know, healing myself. I knew I wanted to help people and I wanted to work with my hands. And chiropractic spoke to me as a viable avenue, as an expression of that in the healing capacity. Mm-hmm. And it was a calling, but I also knew it was a stepping stone. Uh-huh. And it was always a kind of an unease within me, like there was something more, something else, and I didn't know what. And it was after one of my closest friends passed away over 16 years ago that plant medicine came to the fore for me.
Oh.
And so it was the experimentation, that initial experimentation, that something opened for me. It was like a door that I just had to go through, and I did. And then it became a practice. You know, for the first 11 years of my immersion in plant medicine, I worked alone. At the fire at night, wow. Just in the elements, you know, deep snow, cold rain, warm summer nights, and developed a relationship with the medicine as an intelligence, and it opened doors, opened windows. It gave me access to a deeper understanding of my own self, but then and to the voice that spoke to me through the medicine, through the fire, because I was, you know, working with fire as an elemental. You know, guide, if you will. And it, the message was bring others to the fire and help them find their way. So that was the directive. And gotcha. Furthermore, my guide said, we will send them to you one by one, you know, like that. And at the time, I really didn't know what that meant. Going back way to the beginning, you know, in the early years, but as things have evolved, and as my concern about being able to provide for my family and, you know, take care of, you know, all the things in life, they would assure me again and again, you will be well provided for. Just follow our guidance, follow our direction, you know. So that's been the test and the trust and the surrender. And I loved your piece about safety, you know, because that's the number one priority for me in my work with people is creating a safe, sacred container inside of which they can do the deep work, mm-hmm. as you said, that they came to do. And
right.
I know that when they can access their deepest work, that I've done my job.
Right.
To provide that.
So you worked as a chiropractor for how many years before you got involved in plant medicine work?
Well, I'd been at it for, you know, roughly 15 years when plant medicine showed up on the scene. So I kept it on the down low, as off the radar.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because of the wire. And then the year before last, when psychedelics were decriminalized in Colorado, it took me about 8 months before I finally was like, okay, I'm coming out of the closet now. And once I did that and I started to identify as a psychedelic guide and an integration coach,
mm-hmm.
It's like, folks are just finding me left and right, you know, yeah. They come out of woodwork. Because now I'm visible and I'm saying I'm being true to my purpose and my activity here. And for as much of a, you know, I was like, you know, like this about it, people are like, oh, that's what you do. Okay, great. You know, I want to talk to you, you know. So yeah, it opened the path for me.
So are you still doing chiropractic work or did you stop that?
I stopped about almost 6 years ago now.
6 years ago. So yep. So you've been kind of full-time doing this work for about 6 years.
Yep. And like I said, those early, well, the first 5 or so years, mm-hmm. I was just off the radar, under the wire, and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
finding my way. Like, you know, I'm like, who does this? You know, what, this is hard. This is, you know, who chooses this path?
Yeah. Well, I like to think the path chooses you. You don't choose the
Yeah,
path.
more like that. I'm like, I can refuse, can I? And you know, the internal voice was like, you can, but you already said yes. All right.
I'm curious, before we go to break, what drew you to work with fire as an element? Like you're bit fire. The fire is a big part of what you do.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, I went through a program with the Mankind Project about 20 plus years ago, and that was my initiation, you know, into the sacred masculine, if you will. And there was fire was part of that weekend. And something awakened in me in that experience with the sage and the ceremony and fire that really drew me in. It connected me to something. It was something I've been searching for my whole life, you know. But it only took me part of the way. And then continuing with fire, continuing to deepen my connection to the ceremonial piece as it came to me. Actually, what I say about this is a fire and the ceremony came through me. And my voice came to me, and like that's been the twin flames, if you will, that have guided me, listening for my voice and working with ceremony, with the plant medicine, to help other people find their way and to remember who they are, you know, at their core.
Right, right. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I would like to talk about when you started to work with other people, like what that was that experience like for you? Because initially you were just kind of doing your own work, and now, you know, people are starting to come to you. You're starting to work with them sort of under the radar, and how that experience maybe has changed from when you first started to do it to how you do it now. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Beautiful. All right. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Tom Garcia, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So Dr. Tom, when you started doing this work, you were really just kind of doing it for yourself, you know, sitting with the fire, going through your own healing after the loss of a close friend. And then the medicine kind of said, time for you to bring other people, time for you to start working with people. What was that like? Do you remember like the first time you guided someone else? What was it like when you started to like say, okay, I got to now help other people do this? What's that?
Yeah, it was pretty rough because I didn't really know what I was doing. You know, as you said, those initial years, I was just working internally and clearly I was being guided. Clearly I was being prepared as I've since understood it, that I was being tempered, seasoned is a good word. There was a maturation process going on. And, but even still, the first few clients, it was kind of rough because I really didn't fully realize or understand what I was doing. But as I continued, I started to find this rhythm and I began to understand that the way I was to work with people was the way that the plant medicine worked with me. Mm. So there was, when I'm working with people now, mm-hmm. I've created a safe container for us to be in together. And we do this the first, they come to the fire first without the medicine to get oriented is how I, that's the word I use, mm-hmm. to really to introduce them to the fire, to my ceremonial space and to the earth that we're on, the land, because we're secluded in the woods, but not far from my house. Mm. And then the next night is the medicine night. So we're preparing all this time for the medicine experience. And so first is that they feel safe enough, that they're comfortable. I'm like, you can't do anything wrong. You know, take your place, make a place for yourself, and whether they sit or lie down. You know, just logistically speaking. But then what happens is we ceremonially bless the medicine as well as open the circle. And then what happens then is whatever the medicine has for us, you know, mm-hmm. The intention I speak to is show us what we need to see about ourselves and be gentle. That's the other.
Be gentle is important.
Because it can be a rough ride sometimes. And I do the medicine with my people.
Oh, you
so
do?
I'm with them. I'm tracking them. I'm like in the dreamscape with them is how I describe it. And my listening goes way big. So it's been a practice, a skill set, an experience over many years of being able to be under the influence of the medicine and be completely cognizant, like way wide awake and listening with and for them so that when they're ready to come to the fire beside me, and there's usually a point at which everyone comes out of their own quiet time and mm-hmm. comes to the fire. And that's when some of the richest, most powerful conversation happens because we're in together and we're going to this place of really inquiring into one's life. And I ask really powerful questions, you know, one of which is, why are you here? Mm. And I say it in a very direct way. Why are you here? Tell me. And they begin to tell me, even if they can't quite articulate it, they start to language it. And then I help them. I'm listening with and for them and asking questions to help tease out what guided them here. Because no one finds their way to the fire or to the medicine by accident. Their spirit led them here. They led them to me, to this experience. It's all for them. I let them know, this is all for you. I'm here for you. I'm in service to you. So that's been the evolution of the practice of guiding others, is recognizing that I have a very... very important role to fulfill here in creating sacred space, asking powerful questions, and listening them into existence, if you will, listening them so powerfully that they begin to see themselves in my eyes as I reflect back to them who I see, both in their beauty and their light, as well as in their shadow, like calling that out, not mincing words, not hesitating at all, you know, being really powerfully direct. And then, you know, I love you, right? I like it's kind of like that. They have to know that I love them in a really holistic way for them to step into what they're called to step into.
I'm curious. You sound like you do things in a very shamanic way. Mm-hmm. Do you have any shamanic training over the years? I mean, did you learn with any guides, or this is all kind of self-taught?
All self-taught, but I have to, with one caveat. Mm. Came it's you know, I'll refer to it as coming to me. It's mm-hmm. come. It was generated from within me, mm-hmm. as well. You know, so I have Native heritage, but I'm not of a lineage. Mm-hmm. And you know, with Native American blood quantum, you know, they measure it in full blood, mm-hmm. half, quarter, like that. What I discovered though is that when the spirit comes for you, it's 100%. And how my sense of it is the spirit came for me, and it comes mm-hmm. full on, you know, through mm-hmm. ceremony. And there was a point at which my inner voice said, it told me that I was a shaman and a medicine man. And I was like, oh, that was years ago. And I'm like, I can't even hear that. I don't even know what that means. So mm-hmm. it was a long time before I would actually identify that way. Right. To say that's how I operate as shaman.
Right. And it sounds like the land is really important, like the surrounding, the environment. Yeah. You know, because there are people who do plant medicine work all over the globe in all kinds of environments, in the jungles of Peru, and here in New York City and Manhattan and California. Yeah. I mean, all over the place, this work is being done either underground or above ground. But it sounds like you create an environment in nature. And I'm just curious, like, what does that kind of give you, or what does that do for you that really supports the ceremony?
Yeah, great question. So I live in an intentional community in Southwest Colorado, and we share over 360 acres of land. Mm-hmm. So I go outside my door in less than 10 minutes. I am in the woods, private, secluded, and I over the years, 15 plus years, I've created a fire circle, carried heavy rocks to lay down the perimeter of the circle, and then the fire pit itself. So there's this like visceral connection to the earth, mm-hmm. to handling the rocks, being on the earth, moving about the land. And so my experience is there is a spirit on the land that resides there that's a powerful presence. And I acknowledge it. So when I do my opening ceremony, there is not a wasted word, mm. and I am calling in all the non-physical energies, and with all the words that I use to describe, you know, great spirit, creator, all that is spirit in all things, source of life, the spirit on the land, all beings animate, inanimate, and other, the traditional owners of the land, acknowledging the native spirits, the natives who occupied this land. Mm. And I continue on like that, the elementals and the elements of fire, air, water, earth, and spirit, and the mystery, those things about which we know nothing, mm. but are with us all the same. And that sets the stage. And so in my experience, you know, I've seen things, I've experienced energies around me that I could visualize. So I know enough. It's like, okay, mm. we're not alone up here. We come well attended and acknowledging the spirit of the place. And so, you know, we all have these notions of going somewhere to sacred sites, mm-hmm. you know, like that. And I had an experience of going to Chaco Canyon in New Mexico several years back, and it was windy and cold, and I still had an amazing experience. But when I came back, my inner voice said, you didn't have to go all that way to find sacred. And I was like, what do you mean? And what I heard was, it's right where you are because of who you are and what you bring. Sacred ground is beneath your feet because of who you are and what you bring, and because of those who've gone before us and have blessed it with their innocence and their peace. So wherever we are, there's sacred ground. So I took that to heart. And so my place on the ground is very much like a sacred spot on the earth. And to be connected to place, much like the natives were. They were connected to place. They knew the land intimately, the language of the spirit that moved through all of life and nature. It was woven into their being. There was no separation. And so to recreate that experience for myself and others who come with me to the fire, it's it adds an element that we just don't find inside of, a room or an office or a, still it works, in a room or an office or a clinical setting, but outside, we're elementally exposed on the earth, under the open sky, at the fire. The fire is this dynamic energy that's, really speaks to me. And I invite people to posture themselves in the same way that I do. I kneel and my head is bowed most of the time because of what I'm in the presence of, in the larger scheme, I'm not worshiping the fire. I'm just aware of what I'm in the presence of.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So it's really kind of being aware of the energy of it, of the spirit of the fire, honoring that and allowing it to serve in the ceremony the way it needs to serve to help people, to support people through their process.
Yeah, it totally does that. I often think that 80% of my work is done because we're outside on the earth in that way. It's people, even without medicine, when I do fire ceremony, people come to the fire. It's like a primal recognition of the fire and that what it provides. And I experience it over and over again where people just let down and drop in and they can really get honest about their feelings and what they're up against and what they're struggling with. And, it creates a safe space for them to, articulate some of the most difficult things to speak to in a person's life,
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of pain, a lot of trauma there to get through. All right. It's time for us to take our next break. When we come back, I'd like to start to delve into the more mystical spiritual side.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Of this, a lot of people are hearing about plant medicine work as, to create help with mental health and release trauma and all this stuff. But there's actually even a deeper way of approaching this. And I would love to explore that with you as we chat around the fire.
Awesome.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with psychedelic guide and integration coach, Dr. Tom Garcia, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Thank you. Welcome back. So, Tom, when you work with people, obviously you're guiding people through ceremony. A lot of people come with all kinds of trauma and pain and anguish. But there comes a point at which they kind of process and work through that. And then you take them to a deeper level. And I'd love to kind of have that conversation around how that deeper level, you know, what it takes to get to that deeper level, and then what really happens in that deeper place.
Yeah, that's a great question too. So often, and this is my experience also with medicine, is I'm working through all my ego stuff. Even today, you know, what I didn't do, what I should have done, you know, some self-recrimination, regret. And so it's a process for sure. I mean, I've been doing this for years, so it's working through all of that stuff for years, but it's not like you got to work through all that stuff to get to this deeper mystical experience. So for example, I'll just speak for myself personally, and then I could use some examples, but getting, you know, maybe it takes an hour or two just to get, I call it getting over yourself. Getting over myself.
Yes.
Then, there's something else, I simply call it the shamanic space. It's like moving through this membrane almost, this sort of veil. It's like coming through onto the other side. What's outside is the ego, and what's inside is, wow, I'm connected to, I feel connected to source. I feel connected to my deepest, most heartfelt prayers and blessings. And I can offer them from that space. It's like a place of awe and gratitude and appreciation and this awareness. It's worth whatever it takes to get in there. Mm. And when I'm working with people, sometimes they can join me there and sometimes they can't. Sometimes they just can't get there, and I recognize it.
What causes the resistance?
I think the ego, the ego's resistance is so strong it won't permit them. It won't let go. And part of the beauty of the plant medicine is that the degree to which it renders the ego, disabled, or it takes the ego offline.
Quiets. Yeah, it takes it offline. Yeah.
Quiets the ego. And when that happens, it's, you know, amazing things happen when the ego is like, just stay over there. We're going to be okay. But we got work to do over here, you know. But sometimes it doesn't let go. And I've experienced people just being kind of caught in their own stuff, caught in shame, caught in self-judgment. But still they come back. They come back because they know on the other side of that, even there's so many different layers, but even if they don't come fully into what I call the shamanic space, you know, there is that on the other side of the journey, deep, revealing, rich conversation that helps them to see and understand their program or that thing they do or how they've been operating in the world and what it's cost them. I mean, we have some really direct, straight conversations about like, what's the cost been of your behavior or the way that you oriented yourself to your life. And it almost without exception, we get to that, you know, to that rich conversation that on the downside of the journey, that's beautiful and engaging, and people can really drop in and begin to find that place to offer their blessings and their prayers and to let go or release and unburden themselves. So one caveat, it's not like in a clinical setting where someone might be just laying on the couch and you've got the facilitator, the therapist sitting nearby with a clipboard and a pen, just taking notes and, you know, and observing and keeping them safe. This is a much more engaged experience when they're with me at the fire. And so we're going to work, you know, in a real sense, but also beyond the work is, this has happened over and over again in my work with people, is watching them snap awake, like coming out of the dream that they've been in, the illusion, if you will, and being able to really look and just see, like, oh my God, is that what I've been doing? Someone said to me once, what kind of idiot? I'm like, I'm not saying it, but what kind of idiot would do that to themselves, you know? Yeah. So, and here's the other thing too, Sam, is there's a lot of humor. Mm. And I let people know that up front. Like, we've got to have some levity here.
Yes.
It can get hard. It can get rough. And when it gets really thick, I might say, okay, just time out. Just hold on. You're doing great work. I know this is hard. And if I'm being an asshole, I apologize. They're like, no. You know, you're not. And I say, okay, cool. So, all right, let's go back in, you know.
Yeah. Do people come to you for kind of that deeper, higher experience, or are they really mostly just coming to you to relieve the pain, and then that ends up being sort of a side benefit?
Most people come because they're reaching for something higher. It's not just for like the ecstatic experience of a trip and what's that all about. They're reaching for something. They're reaching for something more authentic in their lives within themselves. And sometimes they do come and just like, they're just awash in pain and they're looking for a way out of it, some relief. And, you know, I can help them with that also. But there are several themes that emerge that I've seen over and over. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness, trust, mm-hmm. surrender. Surrender is a big one. To surrender, you know this. You know this from your own experience of just surrendering, like letting go. And for so many people, surrender is really hard. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, one of my clients said, God, the closest I can come to surrender is compromise. Yeah. And we just laughed. I said, oh, isn't that's an ego construct if there ever was one. Yeah. But this is, it's not that. Surrender is not passive. It's a powerful act of will to surrender ourselves and open to the experience. And when we do that and resistance goes down, then magic becomes available that wasn't available before. And that's where the ease comes in. And that's where I think people then are much better able to enter into that shamanic space of deep gratitude and really seeing what they've been doing in their lives and the constructs of their own ego and how it's affected them, you know, in various ways, and the judgments that we carry that don't serve us, you know, so many areas to explore, you know.
Right. Do you find that like most people come back several times to get to that place, or is it the kind of thing that, you know, one really intense experience and they get there?
They could get there in one really intense experience. I think it's entirely possible. Mm-hmm. But for most people, the return visits have been, so I have people that have been with me for several years. Mm-hmm. Those who come just one time, the most satisfying for me is when I get to work with them over time.
Yeah. You know,
several experiences or over a period of years where they are now on the medicine path of their own volition. You know, they recognize, and I make it clear, this is a path.
Yeah.
This is a path. It chooses you as much as you seem to choose it. It's not easy. And I don't like lay it out for them. They just know that I've been called.
Yeah.
I'm here. Here I am again, you know, like that. But like I said earlier, it's like, who would choose this, you know, because it can be really hard sometimes. But it's nothing. It's like the past. You know, it's really beautiful.
Yeah. I've heard it said that, you know, spirit will demand quite a lot of you on this path, but it will also reward you quite a bit as well.
Yeah, that's really true.
Are there still challenges you have working with people and doing this? I mean, you've been doing this for quite a while. Do certain experiences or certain individuals really challenge you when it comes to taking them to this deeper place?
Yep. I mean, I'm really well seasoned. Now, I really am. I mean, I, in one sense, I really know what I'm doing. And then there's this whole arena of not knowing how I facilitate. I don't over facilitate. And as someone said recently, you kind of under facilitate. And I don't mean that negatively. And I'm just like, that's right. Because I'm making space for the facilitation of the divine spirit, the intelligence, you know, making room for that. And yes, people still present with such levels of resistance. I'm like, where do I get in here? And I'm like listening. I'm not frantic. I'm like the more intense it gets, or the more resistance there is, the calmer I get. I'm like in this really calm place. It's like, what is this person asking for? What do they need? Just recently had this experience with someone, and I got really like, and I said to him, this is it right here. This is it. This is your experience. And you can participate fully and open, or you can stay shut down. This is all you're going to get. But I'm here to serve you. I'm here to love you. I'm here to hold the space for you to get what you came for. And that one little conversation just like, it opened. And then we were like in sync and we connected. And it was like great camaraderie and laughter. And there were tears. And, you know, I went over and I could, you know, just hold him and just, you know, it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
And that was how then the rest of the night, then it was open. You know, the way was open. It's like, I'm just so committed. I'm just like rigorously committed to people getting what they came for.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. 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 All right. Believe it or not, it's time for us to take our last break of the show. When we come back, I'd love to get just some perspective of, since, you know, Colorado just recently, it hasn't been that long that they legalized psilocybin and other things, like how you see people showing up today. Like, is there a difference compared to before when you started, and sort of where do you see things going from here? And what kind of advice, like if our listeners are, you know, listening and they're like, wow, this is really kind of experience I would like to have, if you have advice for them about how to find that experience for themselves. Okay. Beautiful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Dr. Tom Garcia, and we will be right back to wrap it all up in just a moment.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branco, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So Tom, you know, when you started doing this, you know, people started coming to you one-to-one slowly. How do people find you these days, and how is the way you're working with them, you know, different than maybe when you did it, you know, years ago?
Well, folks are finding me by word of mouth. You know, one person comes to work with me, they tell someone else, it's like, God, this guy really needs to see you, or this woman really needs to come to your fire. And then I, you know, I we get acquainted, I find out if I'm the right fit for them. We got to be the right fit. You know, that's really important. And doing podcasts, I was on the Expanded States of Consciousness World Summit, and so many folks came out of that because the interview was just so authentic and rich and very much like this. I mean, just, you know, really connected in our conversation here. And so that's how they find me. And it's been even this year has been, I've been busier than ever this year with folks, you know, that are looking for this.
So did things really open up for you when Colorado legalized psilocybin?
They opened up when I got real about what I was doing. That's the funny thing. It was an energetic. Like I said earlier, when I finally began to identify as a psychedelic guide and an integration coach, then by magic, it seemed like people just started coming into my experience. So it's been, you know, this is part of the path too, to be authentic and true to who we are. Mm-hmm. To, you know, identify with our deepest, most heartfelt, you know, part of ourselves, and to live from that. So I'm like a demonstration of it. I model it, and it's been my own process of, you know, finding my way to that, you know, finding my authentic voice. I think a lot of people are wanting their authentic voice and to be true to who they are and to step from behind the facade, to let it fall away. But that's also the greatest fear is, and I asked that question of someone, what are you afraid of? They said, I'm afraid to see who I really am, because the life I've built has been predicated on this persona.
Yeah. What
does that mean for what I've built, you know, like that. So what's changed is in Colorado, what I'm seeing is people are more out in the open about looking for it also. You know, I see veterans and professionals that are like, you know, I was worried about my licensure or, you know, my professional reputation, but now it's out in the open. Or veterans, is going to show up on a blood test, or is it going to affect my service, you know, like that. And the answer is no. And so veterans are fine that are still active service, as well as those who've retired. And since, you know, they're dealing with PTSD and the effects of, you know, service related issues. You know, it's been beautiful to be able to serve, you know, our veterans like that.
And do you only work with people one-on-one? Do you do groups? How do you work with
groups as well? Small groups. Interestingly, I'm having entrepreneurial teams find their way. Small groups of entrepreneurs that want to deepen their connection in their team, but also do their own individual work. Women's, I've got two women's retreats lined up this year, and a men's retreat, and a retreat of shamanic practitioners. About a half dozen people that they've been to Peru, they've done the ayahuasca ceremonial work, and now they're looking to come here in our homeland, you know, to do the work in a ceremonial way. And I truly feel my ceremony is authentic and true. It's not appropriated from any other tradition. Came through the ethers in a good way. So here it is, you know, ceremonies right here. We bring it. We bring it. And that's what I tell folks who come here. I say, take what you find here and take it home. Make a circle and put a fire in it wherever you are. Find the ceremony that lives in your heart. Take anything that I have here and use it, modify it, make it your own. You know?
Beautiful. Beautiful. I see we have a comment on the live stream from loyal listener Patty, who tunes in every week. So appreciate you, Patty. She asks, have you heard of Don Latin's book, God on Psychedelics? He's a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle.
No.
No. I've heard the title, but I haven't. I'm not familiar with the book. So definitely something I have to check out. God on Psychedelics. It's probably
this is great. I'll check it out also. I just want to say briefly, when I started on this path, I didn't read anything. I didn't want to know anything. I didn't want to know how to do ceremony. I didn't want to read about psychedelics. I didn't want anyone to tell me how it's done, what their experience was, what to look for. I wanted my own direct experience, uncontaminated by any outside influence. And once I got that and I came out of the woods, I was shocked to find how much was already happening. We were, psychedelic renaissance was already underway, and I was just like stepping right into it. And Michael Pollan's book was a seminal piece of work, How to Change Your Mind. So, we are in the midst of a reawakening.
Yes.
Plant medicine as teachers and allies.
So speaking of that, where do you see things going for here for people engaged in this kind of work? Do you see things just continuing to grow? Are there challenges or the things we need to be careful of?
Yes and yes and yes. You know, the big thrust is in the treatment paradigm. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of research being done, valid research, you know, John Hopkins and through other organizations that are finding great benefit and efficacy with psychedelics. So that's always going to be one big fat avenue because it has the backing of government and big pharma and venture capitalists that are funding this movement. And then there's those like myself who've been underground for such a long time and are now coming out of the shadows and being able to operate, you know, above board. And then there's everything in between. So we have, you know, on the one spectrum, certification as psychedelic facilitators, being certified as a psychedelic facilitator. And you might have no experience. Maybe you're a counselor or a therapist. You go to Mexico for your one experience, take a 6-month course, and now you're certified. But does not diminish the value that you can bring. And then there's people like myself that have been, you know, north of 200 journeys, self-taught, if you will, the whole process like that. And people are looking for that as well. I have people that say, I don't want to do the clinical experience. I want to be out in nature. I'm not looking to, I don't have a diagnosis. And I say, that's good because I'm not curing, fixing, or, you know, solving anything. I don't have a diagnosis for you. You know, that's the spiritual journey for a lot of people. And I'm creating a training mentoring program for people that want to learn how to do what I do, not to exactly mirror or, you know, model it verbatim, but to find their own unique expression in a ceremonial way to guide people from the heart with clarity and to be connected to your own internal guidance in the matter of the use of plant medicine in working with other people.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, Tom, I could keep talking to you for hours and hours around this. It's obvious you're very well grounded, you're compassionate, and you're really looking to serve people in the best way possible. If people want to learn more about you, get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Just go to drtomgarcia.com. That's my website, and all my contact info is there. I've got a whole series of blogs where I'm more now forthcoming about the psychedelic experience and all various categories, you know, of the experience to help round out people's understanding.
Wonderful. And that's Dr. just Dr. Tom, T-O-M, Garcia, GARCIA.com.
Yes.
Tom, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come on my show today. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thank you. It's been awesome.
Yeah, and we'll definitely, next time I make it to Colorado, we'll definitely connect.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. And as always, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in every week. Without you, there is no show. I so appreciate you. Please help us spread the word. Get the word out there. Let others know if you enjoyed this conversation. Share it, whether you're listening on the podcast or on the live stream. Please share it. And don't forget, if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc. On all the major podcasting platforms and on all over social media, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate you all. Don't forget later today, immediately following this show, it's Dr. Richard Lewis Miller with his new show, The Mind, Body, Health, and Politics Show. And later today with Frank Harrison at 5 p.m. Eastern Time with his show, Frank About Health. Take care, everyone. We will talk to you all next week.
Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.